Thank you, Jerry. Joe, we will talk to you tomorrow as the Blue Jays will bring their brooms to the ballpark. And I always say, don't look at the standings till the end of May. Well, May is over as far as the Blue Jays are concerned, though there are still 2 hours left in May here in the Eastern time zone. But it's safe to look at the standings now. And with the Blue Jays off to a start that had people diving off the bandwagon just a week ago, let's take a look. They're 5 games out of first place in the AL East, 2 games behind the second-place Baltimore Orioles, who I believe were uncatchable 2 weeks ago, so that's a real nice improvement. And as far as the wild card goes, the second wild card is currently held by the Chicago White Sox. They're beating the Mets right now, 6-4. So if the White Sox hold on to win that game, they'll be 28-25. Which would mean the Blue Jays are a half game out of a playoff spot. How about that? After a start like they had, they have turned things around. They've won 9 of 12. And as things stand right now, this very second in time, the Blue Jays would be in a tie for the second wild card spot. Yes, you don't want the wild card. You want the division. But you'll happily take the wild card to get into the playoffs. All that panic button thing, fire everybody, 2 weeks ago, what do you know? It's a long season. The Blue Jays beat the New York Yankees by a score of 4-1 to finish off a 17-12 month of May. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance 1-888-666-0590. Before we get to your calls, though, we'll hear from John Gibbons very shortly, but one of the first things that John Gibbons said was that Bob Elliott of the Toronto Sun is retiring. Bob Elliott, who is in the Hall of Fame here in Canada, he is in the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown as a winner of the J.G. Taylor Spink Award, written for the Toronto Sun, forever covered the Blue Jays over the last 2 decades plus. And I'm stunned by this news. I never thought Bob was going to leave. Just such a phenomenal writer and... I mean, it's weird of me to call him a mentor. He hasn't really mentored me specifically, but just in reading him and being around him and learning from him, you can't help but be a mentee of Bob Elliott's. We are going to miss him so much. I will get to do this in person, but if you're listening, Mr. E, the best on your retirement. You will very, very definitely be missed, and hopefully we'll continue to see you around the ballpark. Bob Elliott, one of the absolute best in the history of this country in covering the game of baseball. So the best of the best of the best to Bob Elliott on his retirement. Let's go to the phones. Chris is in Brampton. You're going to be the leadoff man on Blue Jays Talk. Hey, Chris.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. Go ahead.
First-time caller. Love the show. Appreciate your insights and remarks.
Thank you. Thank you.
Questions. Darwin Barney, seeing the ball real well, if you were in Gibbons' position, would you put him as a leadoff hitter?
Nope.
No? Does it belong there?
No. I mean, he's still Darwin Barney, right? What it comes down to is that he's hitting the ball great. He's doing a wonderful job. But is he the guy you want up with two out and a man on, or is Jose Bautista the guy you want up with two out and a man on in the seventh or eighth?
Well, yeah, I guess it's, you know, it depends whether or not you want a real powerful hit or if you just want contact. Seems to me Darwin's hitting the ball a lot more consistently.
He's also getting out more than Jose Bautista is.
Well, okay, fair enough. Good enough. Other quick question for you. With regards to Chris Colabello, I know he's under suspension, and he's probably got, I don't know, 40-some-odd games remaining or 30. I don't know.
More than that.
Counted. Okay. So what happens with that when it's up, when those 80 games have been served? Does he go right to the back to the bigs, or does he have to go through, like, the minor leagues
to warm
him up? Or?
I believe that once there's 10 games left in the suspension, he's allowed to start a rehab assignment.
Okay.
So at that point, he'd go to Buffalo or Dunedin or wherever and get back. You know, I'm sure he's staying in shape, but get back into game shape and hitting and all that stuff. And then when the 80 games is up, the Blue Jays have to decide what to do.
And again, as Gibbons, like, what would you do with that?
I think I would wait until closer to the end of the suspension. We have no idea. You know, I hate saying this is going to happen in a month, or this is going to happen in 6 weeks, because who knows what this is, what things are going to look like then.
Yeah, who knows who gets injured, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And I've been told on Twitter a couple of times that I was wrong, and they're right, I was. I don't know quite how I would have thought that the Jays were half a game out of the wild card when I had already said that they were two games back of Baltimore. But Seattle has the first wild card spot. Baltimore has the second wild card spot, not the White Sox. So the Jays right now are two games out of a playoff spot, one-third of the way through the season, having played their worst baseball, one would hope, until they got this thing started. And they got it started right after the lowest point of the season. We always look for rock bottom, and we always think this is rock bottom. Well, no, this is rock bottom. Hopefully that sweep at the hands of the Tampa Bay Rays was rock bottom. The Blue Jays getting beat three straight by a combined score of 31-7. They were terrible. Since then, they are 9-3. And they finished May 17-12, overall 28-26. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. Get to another call in a second, but before we do, let's hear from the skipper. Here's what John Gibbons had to say in the wake of tonight's 4-1 win over the Yankees.
Well, before we get started, Jay, I guess the news about Bob Elliott. Bob retiring. Is Bob in here? Oh, is it out there yet? I sure as hell hope so. It's not? Well, first off, hey, you know, Bob's a friend to everybody in this room and the people out there that aren't here. And, you know, it's a big loss for baseball. He's been a great writer for many, many years. He's done a lot for the sport, and he's a friend to everybody. And so everybody's going to miss him. Hopefully he hangs around a while. So, good luck, Bobby. Hall of Famer.
John, what did you like from Jay Happ today?
Well, you know what? I thought he pitched really good. You know, that first inning was a battle for him, and I thought he settled down. He was scattering it a little bit in that first inning, but he got through it. I mean, that's the key. He's on a nice little roll. So, you know, and then Sabathia was really good again. And, you know, of course, Betances came in, and we strung some hits together. So, you know, great job offense.
John, in some ways it looked like the approach Pilar and Barney had against Betances was similar to the approach you guys had against Chapman that inning in New York last week. What did you like about the way they went into their bats and what they did there?
Well, really, I mean, when guys throw that hard, you know, I mean, you really got to simplify some things. You just got to get the bat head to the ball somehow. You know, if your swing gets long and you're in a pull mode, you really have no chance against them. And so, you know, you take advantage, shoot a ball the other way is just what both of them did. And we took advantage of it, yeah. That's hard to do, though.
John, whose catch did you like better, Barney's or Pilar's?
Oh, gosh. Well, considering we see Pilar do it every day, it will give the nod to Barney. But he's pretty good, too, out there.
John, what do you know about Jason Grilley, and what influence do you see him having on your bullpen?
Richard, I don't know a lot about him. Yeah, I met him one time at the winter meetings a couple years ago when we were talking about signing him. I've heard nothing but good things. He's a great guy in the clubhouse. He's had a nice career. He's pitching some tough roles, very good. So, you know, he'll come in here. We'll see what he is. Give him an opportunity to pitch this important innings for us. And I'm not sure whether he'll be here tomorrow or not, but we're looking forward to getting him.
John, it looked like that defense by Pilar and Barney really gave you a lift tonight, the three different plays that they made. What can you say about what those mean in terms of the energy and everything that they give your ball club?
Well, you know, really both of them are known as, you know, elite defenders in big leagues, you know, and sometimes it's just not good enough to make the routine play. You need to take away hits in certain situations, you know, it kills rallies and kills potential rallies, you know, big plays like that. You know, we're a very good defensive team, so, you know, we've been known to do that.
How relaxed are you when you give the ball to Osuna?
Well, Steve, really, is probably as relaxed as you can be. You know, he's really come into his own at a young age. You know, he took over that role last year. I mean, it was Really, for basically the youngest guy in the league to run with it like he did and be that successful. And then this year, this year he's pitching even better. You know, he's probably even more confident. But, you know, you really get to that inning, it's basically you turn the ball over to your closer, whoever that might be, and you sit back and watch, you know. But he's something special.
Yeah, he sure is. And I don't know if Blue Jays fans have felt as calm and confident when a closer comes in decades. I mean, Casey Jansen had a heck of a run there, and he was a great closer for the Blue Jays for a couple of years. I was always confident when he came in, but I feel like Roberto Osuna, just, you know, there are no tweets that say, oh no, oh, here we go again, all of that stuff. It's just calm. And Roberto Osuna has been phenomenal. And he got another save tonight. Blue Jays get to another star reliever tonight. They got to Aroldis Chapman in New York. They got to Craig Kimbrell, both here and in Boston. And tonight they get to Dellin Betances. And that's what the Blue Jays are supposed to be. When they're hitting the way they should be hitting, there's nobody who can get them. And they can get anybody. And they did it tonight with a two big two-out hits off of Dellin Betances in a tie game at the time to beat the New York Yankees by a score of 4-1. Jay Happ gets a no decision, so he does not join Marco Estrada as Blue Jays to beat the Yankees twice in five calendar days since 1982. Estrada is the only one to do that. But the Blue Jays will happily take it. They get another series win, and they're 6-2 so far in this Big 12 against the Yankees and the Red Sox. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. Let's go out to Whitby. Jeff, welcome aboard.
Hey, thanks, Mike. I love the show. I agree with you. It's been a long time since I've felt good about a closer. Hanky and Ward were the last time, so nice to see Osuna go. I wanted to talk to you about Grilly. I'm looking at his numbers. Of course, is that a product of his environment where he was in Atlanta, or is he just near the end and they're just getting him to help fill in?
It's 17 innings. Is what it is. And you really can't read anything into 17 innings. He was walking a lot of people early. He's kind of cut back on that his last few outings. But look, if Jason Grilly was having a great year, the Blue Jays wouldn't have been able to get him for Sean Radcliffe and get Atlanta to pay that whole contract. This is a guy who you hope helps out, and if he doesn't, he doesn't, and you can release him, and it's no skin off your back.
Fair enough. One more question. Do you think Toronto will be in the market for another starter?
Probably. Yeah. There's still 2 months till the trade deadline, exactly 2 months to the trade deadline, and there's more games between now and the deadline than they've played to this point. So, a lot can change between now and then, but the plan, obviously, is not to have Aaron Sanchez in the rotation all season long. So, yeah, I'm sure they will continue to look to add pitching.
Okay, awesome. And I honestly believe, I think Devin Travis will be our leadoff hitter by the All-Star break. So go Jays, they're doing great, and I'm glad to see they've turned the corner.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. Yeah, I'm sure Devin Travis will be the leadoff man by the All-Star break, if not sooner, as long as he stays healthy. Although, with Jose Bautista, since Jose Bautista was installed as a leadoff man, the Jays are 9-3, and they're 8-3 with Bautista actually leading off. They won that game that he was suspended. They won tonight as well to secure the series against the Yankees, and they'll have a chance to sweep tomorrow night with Aaron Sanchez on the mound. They beat the Yanks 4-1. This evening, behind six strong from Jay Happ and a shutout inning each from Joe Biagini, Jesse Chavez, and Roberto Osuna. And it was really good to see Jesse Chavez go out and deal like he dealt in that top of the eighth inning, because if he's turned things around, that could help a lot too. We will take a break. We'll come back with more of your phone calls. Blue Jays win it 4-1 over the Yankees. It is Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Pitch, fly ball deep right center field, backcourt Kevin Pillar running at the wall. He makes an over the shoulder catch, puts both hands up on the wall, and fortunately did not have to make a headlong dive for it. He just simply ran it down with that great athleticism.
That was Kevin Pillar on Starlin Castro leading off the fourth inning. Two batters later, Pillar did need to make a headlong dive, and it was a spectacular one, full-out Superman to his left to snare Austin Romine's line drive. A great night for Kevin Pillar, who also had the two-out RBI single off of Dellin Betances in the seventh inning that broke the 1-1 tie and gave the Blue Jays the win. They beat the Yankees 4-1. Gotta say thank you, Joe Girardi, for your outfield alignment tonight. The New York Yankees manager putting Aaron Hicks in left field, and Aaron Hicks might just have the best arm in the major leagues. He has thrown a ball 106 miles an hour this season from the outfield. But Rob Refsnyder, who is really a second baseman, was playing right field for the Yankees because with CC Sabathia starting, there was a lot more right-handed pull chances for the Blue Jays, and Refsnyder has way more experience in right field than in left field, though I can't understand why. Refsnyder, well, let's just say this. If Aaron Hicks was playing right field, Edwin Encarnacion is out by 15 feet on that Kevin Pillar single in the seventh inning. And if Aaron Hicks is playing right field, not that Darwin Barney even gets up because the inning is over on the Pillar single, the Darwin Barney single doesn't score a run either. So if it's Hicks in right and Refsnyder in left instead of Hicks in left and Refsnyder in right, this game is probably still going on in a 1-1 tie. Instead, Refsnyder with two awful throws, and the Blue Jays score three runs in that bottom of the seventh inning and beat the Yankees 4-1. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Taking your calls to the bottom of the hour on the network and then up to 11 o'clock Eastern on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and sportsnet.ca/590. John in Toronto, you're next. Hello, John.
Hi. How's it going?
Hi, go ahead.
Well, it's nice that three big series are all that.
Can you take me off speakerphone, please? You're on the radio. People need to actually hear what you're saying.
No, I didn't. You're not on speaker.
Oh, it was a terrible. Then you're like 50 feet away from the phone.
How's that? Is that better?
Much better.
Okay. So what I see is big three series in a row. That's great. And I'm so glad they got Jason Greeley. I wanted him 2 years ago when he went to California for next to nothing. And I didn't understand why the Jays didn't make a trade then, but he's a big help and he's a veteran and he'll get some outs for us. I'm really happy they got him. And I, you know, what it shows the players, which I said 2 years ago, is that the team actually wants to win. You know, management's behind them and that's great. That's what they need. It gives them a big boost.
Well, I hope so. And, you know, I don't know if Jason Greeley is not the Jason Greeley that he was 2 years ago.
No,
and he may
not
even be the Jason Greeley that he was last year. But it's definitely it's a free look. More than I would suggest, I don't think it's a big boost as much as a free look that could wind up being a nice boost if he can recapture some of that the good stuff from the last couple of years.
Well, they get him for nothing, right? So, like you said, if it doesn't work out, what do we pay? A guy that's 3 years in triple and single A? Okay.
Right. They didn't give up any with all due apologies to Deshaun Radcliffe, who we love because he's from Ajax, he'll play for Baseball Canada and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Blue Jays didn't give up anything significant to get Jason Greeley. So it's a free look at a guy who's a former All Star.
And they could have had him 2 years ago for nothing, but they didn't get him then. So he went to California.
Okay.
So I'm just saying, it shows the players. Players like it when you get guys to help them win. It's been my humble experience. When that happened 2 years ago, I was really upset. Now he's on our team, and I think it's great. I think it's great that they're winning. And I agree with you about Jose being the leadoff hitter. What he does is he gets on base. So getting on base from the guy that is your best on base guy, he gets up five times. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, for me, it's more about getting him up in big spots late in games and having one of your best hitters up first as soon as the lineup turns over.
Yeah,
that's the more important thing for me, and I love it.
Yeah, the reason that he gets up late in games is because he gets to be up five times.
Well, the reason he's up first when the lineup turns over late in the game is because he's up first. Right.
Getting your best on-base percentage guy lots of at-bats is always something I like. All right.
Thanks, John. Yeah. Appreciate the call and the insight. Absolutely. Wayne is in Kleinburg. Hey, Wayne.
Hi, Mike. How are you, bud?
Good. I haven't heard from you in a while.
I know. It's been a long time, but I just wanted to mention about Stroman. Nobody's been talking about him. I know he had a couple of bad games his last two outs, but I love the Stroman. And Darwin Barney, we don't say enough about him. And the one thing I wanted to really mention, Mike, was steals. I think Pilar's leading the team with five steals, if I'm not mistaken. And
Five after tonight,
Five tonight. Yeah. You know what? Like, we need the team to roll. We got to play like a Tampa Bay team, no?
No. Why?
I think, you know what?
Tampa Bay plays like Tampa Bay because they have a lineup of crappy hitters, 1-9. The Blue Jays have phenomenal hitters. You don't have to – don't change to be a hack and slash and steal and waste out team.
I want them to steal. I want them to be rolling on the bases, but I think they can do it. They got the hit and run team this year. I think they do.
Okay.
And Gomes, he doesn't get enough credit either, right? He's just starting to crack the ball, finally, because they put a couple of guys. The other gentleman came back. They're healthy now. Guy with the red hair. What's that gentleman's name? Who came back for Gomes? He just came back here. He just came back healthy. And now they moved Gomes over to short.
You think Devin Travis has red hair?
Yeah. You didn't notice that dyed red hair he's got in the back of his head?
It's gold, isn't it? But anyway.
Oh, gold? Oh, yeah. Okay. Is it gold? Yeah, it might be gold. I'm a little older. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
It looked red to me. Gomes is starting to finally crack the ball the last couple of games he's been in, eh? Did you find that?
Well, I mean, he had two hits last night, and he looked great with that double and the homer last night, but he was 9-for-91 going into last night's game.
True enough. So, yeah, just throwing it out there. Right? I was all excited to shoot.
Yeah, well.
Knock me down. That's sorry. Okay. One other thing I had to throw in there.
Thank you, Wayne. Appreciate the call. The Blue Jays, 4-1 winners over the New York Yankees. We'll take one more before we break. We will go to Will in Oshawa. Hello, Will.
Hey, Mike, thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering what you thought about Biagini's performance this season and if you think that he might be good in the setup role. I know he's young, but I think he could do well there. And on the point that the other guy was saying about Goins, personally, I think Goins is going to go down to the minors because when Tulowitzki comes back. What do you think about that one?
Well, I think we got a couple of weeks to wait and see until Troy Tulowitzki comes back. So it's a little early to figure that out. But right now, you would have to think that Darwin Barney is clearly ahead of Ryan Goins when you're looking at your utility infield spot when Tulowitzki comes back. But again, lots can change. As far as Biagini goes, I mean, how can you not be blown away by what this guy has done? He's a Rule 5. He's given up 2 earned runs in 21 innings. He has been fantastic, and in those 21 innings, 17 hits and 6 walks and 17 strikeouts. So
he's played amazing.
Yeah, he has. I don't know. Setup man, who knows? I mean, let him get around the league a few times, let everybody see him, and see what happens then. But Joe Biagini may well have been the saving grace of the Blue Jays bullpen to this point this season of anybody not named Roberto Osuna. Can't say enough about what he's done.
Yeah, no, I would 100% agree with that. And I've been thinking the same thing, and I hear you talk about him quite a bit, so I agree with you.
Yeah, he had another very biaginous inning today in the top of the seventh, emerging without having allowed the Yankees to score, and that was in a 1-1 tie, and he had to face Jacoby Ellsbury with a runner at second and 2 outs. He faced 3 lefties in a row, in fact, in Gregorius, Hicks, the switch hitter, and Ellsbury, and he struck out Jacoby Ellsbury with a runner at second in a 1-1 tie in the seventh inning. That's just absolutely huge. And I can't say enough about Biagini. He has risen to the occasion pretty much every time the Blue Jays have asked. We will continue to take your calls on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and on sportsnet.ca/590 right up until 11 o'clock Eastern. We got to let the network go at the bottom of the hour, though. Post games brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. It is the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Don't miss a game. We won't. All 162 games right here on the home of Toronto Blue Jays baseball. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
When you feel you've been cooped up too long, it's time to spring into motion. The Acura Own the Road event is on. Take off with the 2017 RDX featuring a 3.5-liter, 279-horsepower V6 engine, all-wheel drive with intelligent control system, and Acura Watch driver assist technologies. And for a limited time, receive a $1,000 cash rebate on select 2017 Acura RDX models. Hurry. Event ends May 31st. See AcuraGTA.ca for details or visit your local GTA Acura dealer.
Introducing Simplicity from WestJet, a new service with frequent flights between Toronto, Montreal, Ottawa, and New York LaGuardia, where you can be like, I'm early, can I get on an earlier flight at no extra charge? And we'll be like, no problem. Or you can be like, I'm 2 hours late, can I get on the next one? And we'll be like, yep. Or you can be like, my flight was more than 30 minutes late. And we'll be like, here's 25 WestJet dollars in your account. Then you'll be like, WestJet's awesome. And we'll be like, go on. No, no, seriously, please, go on. Terms and conditions apply. Visit WestJet.com/simplicity for details.
Why drive a car when you can drive a legend? This month, head to the BMW 3 Series sales event and enjoy our best selection and offers yet on all BMW 3 Series sedan, touring, and GT models. With no charge scheduled maintenance, rates from just 0.9%, and event credits of $1,500, there's no time to wait. The BMW 3 Series month-long sales event, only until May 31st at your GTA BMW retailer.
If you're going to talk to your blue in the face anyway, you might as well do it on the radio. Blue Jays Talk with Mike Wellner, following the game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
That's going to do it for us as far as the Sportsnet Radio Network is concerned, but our Blue Jays Talk will continue on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and sportsnet.ca/590. So if you're on hold, stay on hold. If you're not on hold, get on hold. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays beat the Yankees 4-1. They get three runs with two out in the seventh inning off Dellin Betances. An RBI single by Kevin Pillar, two-run single by Darwin Barney. Jay Happ gives up a run on four hits over six innings. Joe Biagini, Jesse Chavez, Roberto Osuna, a shutout inning of relief each. Biagini winds up getting the win. The series wraps up tomorrow night. We're on the air at 7 o'clock Eastern for a 7:07 first pitch. And for the second straight series, the Blue Jays will have the brooms out in the finale. It'll be Aaron Sanchez against Masahiro Tanaka. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network. Subscribe to the podcast, Blue Jays Talk, on iTunes. For Jerry Howard, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Ryan Clark, Josh Goldberg, I'm Mike Wilner. Blue Jays Talk continues.
Pitch to Smoke, fly ball deep left center field. Back for it, Ellsbury. Does he have room? He's at the wall. He's running out of room. There she goes. The Blue Jays are in flight. They've tied the Yankees 1-1 here in the fourth as Justin Smoke has just hit his fifth home run.
That was just the Blue Jays' second hit of the night, or third hit of the night, coming there in the fourth inning. The Smoke home run. And those are going to come, I think, in kind of bunches. Justin Smoke only has five home runs a third of the way through the season. I think that he is, you know, due to hit a whole whack load more. Playing every day, he should hit at least 25, if not more. Blue Jays get three in the seventh, all with two out against Dellin Betances. They beat the New York Yankees by a score of 4-1, and they have reached the one-third mark of the season. They are currently on an 84-win pace, which is not good enough. But when you consider the way they started the season, to be there at the end of May, when less than 2 weeks ago, people were dying to tell me that the season was over, that they'll never catch the Red Sox and Orioles, that, you know, we just got to face it, the Blue Jays aren't that good, but at least they'll get to trade Bautista and Encarnacion in July. To be 28-26 at this point after a 17-12 May, they've won 9 of their last 12. The Blue Jays have come back around, and they're playing really, really, really well right now. Their best baseball of the season. And again, a big win over the New York Yankees. They secure the series win. They have won five straight series now against the Yankees. for the first time since 1992 and 1993, and those were pretty good years. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. Taking your calls at the top of the hour, 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Russ is in New Jersey. Hello, Russ.
Good evening, Mike. How the mighty have fallen. The New York Yankees. This is just a terrible old baseball team. You know, just like, it's just unbelievable. You know, a couple of years ago, you know, we're talking about, are the Yankees ever not going to be in the playoffs? Stuff like this. This is just a terrible. I'm saying they have a lot of guys getting way overpaid. Teixeira's always hurt. McCann hasn't lived up. Their best player might be Beltran in the lineup. It's unbelievable to watch the New York Yankees, a team that pays so much money, and you know, they just can't hit. There's nothing to watch on that team.
And yet, Russ, they came into this series last night a half a game behind the Blue Jays.
Yeah, it's unbelievable that, you know, they get to that back of it, you know, the back of their bullpen, which is great. And I give the Blue Jays credit because, you know, Pilar got a hit in that to help secure the win on Thursday. You know, he got into the third run, and you know, tonight he gets a big hit off the Kansas. That one was against Chapman. So, you know, yeah, they were only a half game out, but I think this team is really, you know, they're just bad. They're just not a good baseball team. And like I told you last week, I think we're going to be there at the end. I don't think the Orioles are that good at all. Okay, I think Boston's definitely a good baseball team, but you know, you're not going to hold this lineup down forever, and they're going to go through a stretch of hitting. And if the pitching stays good, I think we'll be there. And give Tony the Cobb credit; he was the one that got Hap, and Hap's been so far worth the price they paid him.
Oh, he's been worth about 10 times the price they paid him. Absolutely. Yeah. Look, if the Blue Jays pitching stays like this and they start to hit like they can, they're going to win 110 games this season. So, you know, it's unbelievable what the starting pitching has done. I don't expect that to happen, obviously, but I agree with you completely about the division. And I'm still shaking my head that it was just 10 days ago where people were telling me the season was over.
Yeah, you know, I'm surprised because I was surprised tonight that the Blue Jays didn't hit Sabathia more. You did not see Sabathia of old. And usually they see a guy twice. They should be able to bury him, especially that line of us. I was surprised. You know, I give him credit because he's really reinvented himself, CC Sabathia.
Yeah.
He's pitched well lately. And I thought the Blue Jays second time around would hammer him. They didn't. But you know what? It's a win. I don't care if they score 2 runs, 3 runs. I know people want to see the home runs. But you know what? If they're winning, that's all I care about.
4-1 wins the same as a 13-2 win. Absolutely.
Thank
you, Russ. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Donald in Las Vegas. Hey, Donald.
Mr. Wilner, I wanted to comment on Mr. Joe Biagini and just how impressed I am with him and how I feel he's the first great move of the new administration. And when I say that, you know, when Mr. Shapiro came on board, he made it clear that Tony LaCava was going to take the lead in the offseason with the plans they already had in place. So when I'm looking at a Jay Happ or a Marco Estrada, I feel like that was already sort of part of the previous administration. That's the direction they were going. But this Rule 5 pick, you know, is shocking. And when you look at the history of the Blue Jays and Rule 5 picks, you know, it looks like we may have just done it again. And, you know, while they haven't made a lot of moves, I was a person who was hesitant to accept the new administration, but it's hard to argue with the moves that they have made.
Well, I would just caution, it's 21 innings in his major league career of Joe Biagini. He's looked terrific, absolutely. It's 21 innings, and if he can keep something like this up, this is a fantastic find. A lot of people were hesitant to accept the new administration, and I think a lot of people remain so, and there's still, I'm sure, a population of Blue Jays fans who think that Mark Shapiro actually wants to lose and is here to ruin the Blue Jays, which is something I've never understood. But you know what, after last year and the way the changeover was made and the timing of it all, you understand, people had just fallen in love with Alex Anthopoulos. They had completely forgotten that in the middle of July they all wanted him fired, and the Blue Jays had this incredible run and a great playoffs and a lot of fun. So it's very easy to say, look, we don't like the new guys, especially because they're not Canadian. But the new guys are here to try to make this team into a yearly contender for a right. championship. And that just like anybody else's goal across the major leagues, and they're not dumb. They understand the game. They know what they're doing. It's going to be different. But so far, I don't know that you can really complain.
That's what I'm saying. So far, I mean, yeah. when you look at the moves that they have made, it's hard to point to a single move made or a single move not made and say, wow, there's a real blunder. You know, and you say it's only 21 innings for Mr. Biagini, but they're 21 mostly high-leverage innings. And for a Rule 5 pick to
mostly.
Find himself in that role so soon yeah. is unusual.
Yeah, they weren't very high leverage at the beginning. I would say probably half of them are high leverage innings, which is, again, you're right, amazing for a Rule 5er in his second month in the major leagues. And he has been outstanding. Thank you, Donald. Appreciate the call. I want to get to a lot more calls, and I will, but I also want to get to some of the baseball players, like the Jahap, who threw six innings and gave up a run on four hits. The big lefty didn't get a win. He winds up with a no decision, but threw awfully, awfully well. Left in a 1-1 tie. Here's what he had to say after the game.
Jay, how'd you feel about things tonight?
It was, you know, definitely more of a battle. You know, I gave it what I had tonight, but I wasn't as sharp as, you know, maybe the outing before. You know, maybe trying to do a little too much, facing the same team twice, maybe overthinking it, but, you know, happily with the results, and bullpen came in, did a great job, and we were able to grind out that seventh inning and get some big, big hits there, and good game for us.
Jay, if you're holding them to 1-6 on the day where you're saying you're not feeling quite right, what's allowing you to get through an outing like that when you don't have what you feel the best of?
Yeah, you know, in the past, some of those games definitely got away from me. You know, I think I just tried to slow myself down, and I was trying different things out there. Had a couple long innings early in the game, but I still kind of never got to the point where I felt as sharp as I'd like. But I was able to make some pitches behind in the count and get myself back in there. You know, and then it was nice to have KP roaming center field for me, too. That was a couple nice plays he had.
Was there a specific pitch that wasn't quite there, or was it every time?
I think it was just overall feel. You know, I was trying a couple different things mechanically. Nothing big, but just trying to feel right. Have it come out of my hand the right way. But it was there, and then it wasn't. But feel good about going out next time, and you know, we'll work on that stuff. But I don't, you know, no cause for concern or anything like that.
You mentioned the two catches by Kevin. You waited for him to dug out after he made the diving catch there. What are you looking to do right there when Kevin comes back?
I mean, that one in right center there, off the bat, as I watched it, to me, I just thought there was no way that ball was going to be caught. And then he covered the ground and somehow got it. I mean, that's just obviously a great feeling for me, but, you know, big for our team, too, getting us back in the dugout there. You know, he's fun to watch, obviously.
Jay, when you say you're not overthinking, is that, like, delivery related? Is that pitch selection related?
It's just not getting too down on myself about not, you know, maybe being as sharp as I'd like. That's going to happen a lot during the course of a season, and I don't want to just overthink mechanics. I was trying to fix some things, but I was also out there competing, and, you know, that's a big thing, just trying to keep us in the ballgame.
So an interesting couple of points there from Jay Happ, who gave up a run on four hits over six innings with two walks and three strikeouts through 97 pitches, 55 of them for strikes. He said that he was overthinking facing the same team twice in a row, and he had to battle way more this time than last time. Last time out, he went seven innings and gave up a run on three hits in a 3-1 win. Tonight was a 4-1 win. And he said in the past, a game like this might have gotten away from him. He has really matured as a pitcher, and he has been just phenomenal for the Blue Jays this season. And another great, he's had one bad start. And not just one, you know, one bad start. It was a pretty bad one against the Tampa Bay Rays. But he's had one start in which he's given up more than three earned runs. And he's had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 starts in which he's given up fewer than 3 earned runs. And 6 starts in which he's given up 0 or 1. He has been incredible for the Blue Jays this year. And not a win to show for it tonight, but a team win, which is far more important as the Blue Jays hit the 1/3 mark of the season with a 4-1 win over the New York Yankees. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. Let's go down to Barbados, because who doesn't want to do that? Richard, you're up next. Welcome aboard.
Hi, Mike. How you doing today?
I'm doing all right. You know what? It's hot here. It's beautiful. Summer has arrived, so I'm not as jealous of you as I was a month ago.
Yeah, no one wants to come here at this time of year, right? Just stay put in Toronto. You'd be fine. I want to make a comment on a brilliant comment that you made about a team making or striking rock bottom before they make a turnaround. And being a lover of history, there's a striking similarity to last year's schedule and results. And you go back to the rock bottom moment of 2015, from May the 10th through to the 17th, Toronto had a stretch of losing 7 out of 8, including being swept by the Astros in Houston. And at that end of that stretch, Toronto was behind in New York by 5 games. Very interesting, similar to this year with Boston. But what's encouraging then is June the 2nd started their 11-game winning streak. And when they started their streak last year, they were 7 games under 500. This year, they're now sitting 2 games up. So for all the pessimists out there, you know, things look a lot more rosy, believe it or not, than last year when you compare both seasons.
Yeah, they do. Last year, you're right, that run was pretty awful, and then they were down for a while, and rock bottom might have been that first game of that doubleheader on June 2nd when they got shut out by Jordan Zimmermann. They lost 2-0. They faced the specter of Max Scherzer in the next game, right?
And then that started it.
Yeah, but, and the next game started it.
I remember the talk shows at the end of that 7 out of 8. It was brutal. I mean, you had a rough time, okay?
Well, you know, everybody's getting fired and everybody's getting traded and all that stuff. This year, now they're 2 games over 500. But when this thing started, they were 4 games under, which is still in better shape. They were in better shape at 21 and 25 than they were at 23 and 30,
exactly.
For sure.
And in the same way, you know, they're treating New York as, you know, that team way up in front. Can they catch them? Just like this year with Boston. It would be interesting to see how things unfold, but it's striking the similarity in timing and everything. I couldn't help but notice that.
Yeah, absolutely. Very perceptive of you, Richard. Appreciate the call. Thank you
very much.
The Yankees of last year and the Red Sox of this year are different, but they have their flaws. The Yankees, old, you know, we weren't sure that they'd be able to keep up really anything offensively. The Red Sox, young, but man, that starting pitching is not good. And we shall see if they can continue to out-hit their starting pitching. And now they're having some trouble in the bullpen as well. But the Red Sox have a nice little 5-game cushion on the Blue Jays. 1/3 of the way through the season. Blue Jays beat the Yankees 4-1 to secure their 4th straight series win, and they are 6-2 right now, 2/3 of the way through the gauntlet of 12 straight games exclusively against Boston and New York. Leo is in Waterloo. Hello, Leo.
Good evening, Mr. Wilner. I've got about 8,000 things that I want to tackle because I've been listening to the show from the get-go. I've been waiting to talk to you, but a couple of things came along the way that I just want to deal with quickly. That is about with regards to this acquisition that we got.
Jason Grilly,
Jason Gilly?
Grilly.
Grilly, okay, yeah. Sorry. There was a caller that called before that he wanted him a couple of years ago. Like, what would have been the diff in getting him then or now as far as just having the acquisition? I don't believe that we would have wound up in such a good spot as we have with them, given that he's like 39 years old, correct?
Yeah, the Blue Jays were interested in him as a free agent a couple of winters ago, and I remember kind of chasing a Jason Grilly story. I want to say in Nashville at a winter meetings, but I could be wrong about the location, that we thought the Blue Jays were going to make an offer or trying to sign him or something like that. They were interested a couple of years ago, but I don't, you know, the past is the past. It's over. There's really no point in saying, well, what would happen if the Jays had Jason Grilley the last couple of years?
Yeah, no, I wasn't going down that road, but I just wanted to, okay, get your point of view on it. Secondly, you know, I would hope that now with how the Jays have been playing for the last couple of weeks, you started off the show by saying about a lot of Jays fans were kind of like throwing their hats up in the air and they're waving their arms like, oh, my God, this is terrible and stuff like that. I'm not so much of a stat guy other than when you watch from year to year, I'd ask you, because you got the stats in front of you, at what point did the bats start off really coming along last year?
Well, they were pretty much there the whole season.
There was a fire sale happening as far as everything coming alive somewhere in the beginning of July, mid-July.
June 2nd is when the 11-game winning streak started, but that was the first 11-game winning streak. But that wasn't when they started hitting. They were hitting all season. That was just when they started winning.
Okay. So we're pretty much at the same point. Were we in the same standings as far as we are right now, or a little bit better?
We just went over all of this with the last caller, so I'm kind of reluctant to go through it again. But okay. Last year, in their 54th game was the first game of that first 11-game win streak. They had two 11-game win streaks last year, but the 54th game was the first one. So where they have... where they're 28 and 26 now, they were 24 and 30 at this point last year. Last year they were in fourth place. This year they're in third. Last year they were 4.5 games out of first. This year they're 5 games out of first. So virtually identical, except for the fact that they're 4 games better.
Okay, and just because we had a couple of we traded a couple players here and there. We got Darwin Barnes. Like he's nuts as far as. What he did tonight, he's got a bat going on, and it seems like Kevin Pillar is kind of giving him some pointers because he flew like a Superman. So it's nice to see that the outfield is working and the bats are coming alive, and we're doing what we're doing right now as far as winning series. And I said from the beginning, like, it wasn't a big deal that we had a, you know, kind of a crappy April. But we finished off May really well, and there's nothing bad to anticipate right now other than things are going to get better because it takes a while for the bats to get going, and it's always better, I think, rather than having a strong start because at some point you're going to start burning out. But whoever the teams are that get ahead, then as the season goes along, there's going to start being a choke factor. And last year... look at what happened. Like, we had a great year, and it started, like, what, about a third of the way through, and that's where we are right now.
Yeah, it started about two-thirds of the way through, actually. Thanks for the call, Leo. I don't agree that there's a choke factor at all. Sometimes, you know, usually water finds its level, and teams generally over 162 games play the way they're supposed to play or very close to it. The New York Yankees didn't choke last year. The Blue Jays simply overwhelmed them over the final 2 months of the season. But look, you know, looking at the standings in June and rending garments is never a good idea. In 2015, the Yankees had a nice, healthy lead in June. In 2014, the Blue Jays had a good, healthy lead in June. Neither of them wound up winning the division. And the Blue Jays, again, playing their best baseball of the season right now. They've won 9 of their last 12. And they won again tonight, beating the Yankees 4-1. Randy is in Bowmanville. Hey, Randy.
Good evening, Mike. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. I'm on the Joe Biagini bandwagon with a lot of other people.
Yeah, as you should be. He's been fantastic.
He's been fabulous. Did you hear his interview with Jeff Blair the other day?
I did not, but I can basically, I've heard it a few times, I'm sure.
It's funny as hell.
Yeah, Joe's a different cat, that's for sure.
He was, I'm listening to this as I'm working, and my employee, she's standing there, he's going, "What are you laughing at? It's just an interview." But he was so, you know, off the cuff funny, just putting the lines out there, and poor Blair and Kevin Barker, they were just kind of, what should we do here? He's not taking this seriously. But he was funny. And
it's sort of a, you got to like a guy like that. He just adds character.
Yeah, he's very, you know, difficult not to like, for sure.
Yeah, he came into the game today. I got the strangest tune come into my head. It was like, Luck Be a Lady, except I changed the words to Joe Biagini.
Okay.
It's stuck in my head all night. I was like, okay, so I got to call Mike and tell him about this because it's just weird.
Well, I appreciate it, and now that song is probably stuck in everybody's head who's listening to the program right now. Thanks, Randy. Look, can't say enough good things about Joe Biagini. At some point, I'd love to have a serious conversation with him, and maybe that point will come, and maybe it won't. We shall see. But he has been just incredible for the Blue Jays. And when you think about the fact that they were, you know, there were a few times where you had to make a decision, do we keep this guy or do we keep Arnold Leone? You know, and things like that. They are lucky to have held on to him. And, man, he is producing quite well. Time for one more call. Rocky in Markham, you're going to be the last one. Go ahead, Rocky.
All right, thanks for taking my call. I just want to talk a little bit about Troy Tulowitzki. Sure, he has been having a bad start, but it looks like he's starting to pick up a little bit before he hit the DL. But
He was 15 for 50 the game before he got right up until he got hurt. 15 for 50, so hitting 300 over like 2 weeks.
Right, and the reason why I'm bringing this up is that I hear different opinions that, you know, the Blue Jays should consider trading Troy Tulowitzki to get some arms and stuff. I kind of disagree to that because I think that he has to be the core of this team within the next couple of years or so. And on top of that, you got upcoming free agents of Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion, and you don't know what to expect from them because, you know, Troy Tulowitzki is under contract. And on top of that, he has a no-trade clause, and I think that with him being in the Blue Jays lineup, I think that it makes a presence for that team in the clubhouse, out the clubhouse, on the field, and of course, when he hits. And I think that with Tulowitzki around, I think that it's making an impact ever since he's been with the Blue Jays. So I wouldn't trade Troy Tulowitzki, and I think that he even said it himself that he would consider about maybe moving to a different position down the road, but that's for the long term. But for now, that I would still keep Troy Tulowitzki regardless.
Okay, thanks, Rocky. I don't believe that anyone's untouchable or untradeable or any of that stuff. But look, if Troy Tulowitzki has to be an offensive force, he doesn't have to be the 300 hitter that he was, but he's got to be like a 270 guy with a 350 on base and still hit 25 or 30 home runs, which he's on pace to hit 25 or 30 home runs. Those other numbers have to come up. If you want him to be a core performer, or even if you're going to move him off shortstop to another position, he's got to be a viable middle-of-the-order hitter. And he's been that his whole career, and he was on his way back to it when he got hurt. So hopefully we'll see that when he comes back. Blue Jays beat the Yankees 4-1. They'll go for the sweep tomorrow night. We're on the air at 7. Aaron Sanchez, Masahiro Tanaka. See you then.